This is the Agribusiness Report. Couple of guests today. First, it's Representative Randy Feenstra from Iowa. He's a member of the House Ag Committee, and we talked with him recently during our D.C. Capital Ag Tour. And Aviva Arendine with the National Economic Council in a moment. First off, Dr. David Anderson, Texas A&M livestock economist on carbon.
Really, this idea of market price and risk, you know, I would characterize this carbon market is really a young market, and it's an emerging market. And so with any of these, we have all these issues in markets, just like we have in lots of other markets, whether it's, you know, price discovery, price determination, transparency. Much of the stuff that Jason described in terms of standards, developers, verifiers are really part of creating this market that we can have some confidence in.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Randy Feenstra. He represents the big 4th District of Iowa. Great to see you.
Great to be on with you today. Thanks for having me.
And when we talk about that great 4th District, what are we going to find in that district?
I tell you what, in my district, we're number one in virtually a lot of agriculture commodity markets, from cattle to hogs, to corn, dairy, you name it. But biofuels is number one in the whole country. I have the biggest biofuel industry in the whole entire nation.
And you also throw a pretty good picnic party, don't you?
We have a great picnic, the Feenstra Family Picnic. We had Ambassador Nikki Haley there this past year, several weeks ago. It was a lot of fun, over 400 people. Serving, of course, pork burgers.
There you go. Now, you're a member of the House Ag Committee, and you've been here now long enough. We'll call you a native.
Sure.
Of the House Ag Committee. Yeah. When you think of your time on the committee so far, has it been a good learning experience?
It has been a really good learning atmosphere. There's a lot of things that maybe I would change. Obviously, I'm in the minority, so I would have a different thought process than people that are in the majority. But doing that, you also understand is, all right, what's important? And what are some of the things that we want to see done? And hopefully that will happen in the next several years. Hopefully I can get in the majority and be involved in some of the things that I believe producers in the agriculture arena needs to see.
Well, one thing that's affecting producers, doesn't matter where you go in the country, I know you've heard this from other members, rising input cost. Is that a concern?
This is such a big deal, especially in the 4th District of Iowa. You know, we have a lot of farmers, corn, soybeans, even cattle, hogs. So you have trucking, you know, diesel costs, DEF costs. And then you have your inputs or your commodities, from the fertilizer to your grains, the seeds, to pesticides, insecticides, and things like that. And the concern right now is, all right, the farmers bought all these things 12 months ago for the fields to be planted and everything, and that's going to be good. But now we're worried about what's going to happen next spring, especially if you watch the commodity market right now with corn and soybeans really taking a hit in the last month. So that's a lot of grave concern right now, is where that commodity price is going to be compared to that input cost, and if those input costs continue to stay high.
We talk about input cost a lot, but you mentioned an industry that has been paying quite a bit for their input as well, and that's the biofuel industry. And again, a very good buyer of U.S. Corn and, yes, and grain products. But what are you watching right now on the biofuel, yeah, side?
Well, the biggest thing with biofuels is, in Iowa, every other corn row goes to ethanol. And so we want to see this continue to be built out, where we want to see E15 year round. We want to continue to grow the biodiesel market through soybeans and things like that. But again, we have problems. We have pinch points in the to get the price, to get the product to market, and especially when it comes to railroad and trucking and stuff like that. The railroads, you know, we only have a few of them, and we're trying to get the ethanol and biodiesel out to California and other places, and this is a real pinch point right now in the supply chain. So that's the biggest concern that we're having. We're looking to have great crops, so this will also help the ethanol and biodiesel industry, but there's a lot of regulations that we're always concerned about.
Sticking with transparency, Has that been something you've been watching on the livestock side?
Yeah, this is sort of big for Iowa and Nebraska, Minnesota area, is the transparency in the pricing, negotiated pricing from our producers to our packers. And we have a grave concern in our district, in our region, that we do a lot on cash contracts. Now, other parts of the country don't, but we do. And those cash contracts are really not very transparent. And that's why I created the Cattle Marketing Transparency Bill, to make sure that there was transparency in the negotiated contracts that are happening from our four big packers. And this is very important for our cattle and hog industry in Iowa, and hopefully we can resolve some of this as we move forward.
And what about on the other side of Capitol Hill? Or is it picking up some steam there?
So the wonderful thing, it passed out of the Ag Committee in the U.S. Senate, and it plans to come to the floor. It sounds like it's got 60 or more votes. So we'll have to see how that plays out, and then it'll come to the House, and it's just a matter of what the House plans to do with it. Talking with leadership on the other side, they would like to move it, but we'll have to see how that moves forward in the next several months.
Tease up the farm bill, because we're headed for that. What do you see?
Yeah, exactly. So we got the farm bill, the 2023 farm bill is right around the corner, and we're already having talks. But it's very regional. I mean, for my district, when we talk about the protections of crop insurance for corn, soybeans, and stuff, and then you have milk, these are the dairy. I mean, these are very big things. But if you look at other parts of the country, you know, from almonds to cotton to tobacco, you name it, all the sugar, all these things are all part of that farm bill, and we're all going to be advocating for how we can better help our producers. And that's to me, will be an exciting time next year as we go through that process and try to create a good farm bill that will help all producers around the country and protect them and their investments.
Have you been able to learn something about maybe some other commodities, other regions from your neighbor members?
Absolutely. That's the great thing. That is the wonderful thing, is that, you know what, I've been to from Washington to California to Louisiana to Florida to see other agricultural inputs, other agricultural commodity products, and how passionate people are. Just like I'm passionate about cattle and corn and soybeans and things like that, you know, they might be passionate about oranges and almonds and things like, you know, other things. So it's really good for me, right? You need to have that full view of what the farm bill is going to encompass. And then you also have Title IX, the energy part. Not everybody looks at biofuels of ethanol and biodiesel, and that could be part of the farm bill. So it's a lot. It's really enjoyable to talk to others on the committee and work together and collaboratively and come up with a final bill, hopefully by next year at this time.
So good to see. I know time is a limited resource here in D.C., but thanks for taking it.
It's always great to be on with you. Thank you.
Again, it's the Honorable Randy Feenstra. He's a member of the House Ag Committee from Iowa on today's Agribusiness Report.
Equip your fleet with the high-capacity Manitou 2550 RT track loader from Livingston Machinery. This all-terrain track loader helps you excavate and transport different materials with ease and precision. For operator comfort, the 2550 RT provides an ergonomic cab and an excellent 360-degree visibility, perfect for any job. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Aviva Arendine, Deputy Director of the National Economic Council in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And I can say welcome first time to the show, because
this is a
position you just recently accepted, though you're not really new to White House and working in the government area, but tell us about what the National Economic Council does.
Sure. The National Economic Council has a pretty broad set of responsibilities. My work focuses on a few areas. I focus on fiscal policy, so that includes tax policy, health policy, some of the things that the recent Inflation Reduction Act covers, and a lot of my work since I got here has been on that legislation. I also focus on macroeconomics, so thinking about the performance of the economy writ large, jobs, inflation, GDP growth. And then I work some on energy policy.
I think that sets us up perfectly to talk about something that just recently passed Congress and was signed into the law, the Inflation Reduction Act. What do you think that really means for just those who are working in America and especially those maybe in rural America?
Yeah, this is legislation that really takes a historic step forward in three big areas, making healthcare more affordable for people, making energy more affordable while combating the climate crisis, and making the tax system more fair. So to try to make each of those a little more tangible, on the healthcare side, one important thing this bill does is address the high and rising costs of prescription drugs. And some of the reforms in the bill are especially important to people in rural America because, as it happens, seniors disproportionately live in rural areas. And this bill makes a number of really important improvements in Medicare, including letting Medicare negotiate prescription drug prices for the first time, finally letting Medicare use its bargaining power to drive down the cost of the highest cost drugs with direct benefits for seniors, including making drug companies pay rebates to the federal government if they increase prices faster than inflation in Medicare. And that, again, has direct benefits for beneficiaries who will pay less in deductibles and co-pays because those prices are lower. It caps prescription drug costs at out-of-pocket prescription drug costs at a total of $2,000 for people with Medicare Part D starting in 2025, which is huge for people with high-cost conditions like cancer or lung disease or others. And it makes other improvements right away, like capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month for a month's supply for people in Medicare. Also really important to people in rural America are the continued improvements to the Affordable Care Act premium tax credits. Premiums for health insurance tend to be higher in rural areas for a lot of reasons. And so the improvements that were made in the American Rescue Plan that made health insurance through the ACA marketplaces more affordable have disproportionately benefited people in rural areas. And now those policies will continue through 2025. They've helped drive the national uninsured rate to its lowest level in U.S. history, and hopefully now we can build on that progress in rural areas in particular. Turning to climate and energy policy, there are also some really important investments here that will bring down electricity costs nationwide, but with a particularly big investment in rural electric cooperatives and making sure that there's a stable, durable, resilient, and affordable supply of electricity in rural areas. And then, really important to all Americans, I think, are the improvements to the tax system and making sure that we have more of a level playing field with everybody, but in particular, high-income people and corporations paying their fair share and paying the taxes they owe.
If we're talking about inflation, one area that we saw that, and this is the Inflation Reduction Act, was fuel prices. Is that anything that you watch, whether it's tied back into the act or separately? Is that something that's on your radar as well?
Very much on our minds. Something I and my colleagues here watch closely. And we've been pleased to see a significant, in fact, historic decline in gas prices over the past weeks. But we're definitely not feeling complacent and still watching that very closely. The president has talked about how this is, a top priority for him, making sure that he uses every tool in his power to mitigate the price hike that was caused by Putin's invasion of Ukraine. So, for example, the president undertook historic releases from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve that helped to bring down prices relative to what they otherwise would have been. And again, we're pleased with the declines we've seen recently, but see the Inflation Reduction Act as really core to a medium and long-term strategy of greater energy security and reducing costs for people, including reducing the cost of electricity, including helping people afford to buy more fuel-efficient vehicles, appliances for their homes, rooftop solar, other things that will bring down families' energy costs significantly over the coming years.
Well, I'll look forward to the opportunity for you to come back and just get an update on where we are, maybe a few months down the road. Will you come back and see us?
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Again, it's Aviva Aaron-Dine, Deputy Director, National Economic Council,
in Washington, D.C. on today's Agribusiness Report.
When you grow cotton, you need a heavy-hitting harvest aid, something that delivers rapid desiccation that has powerful performance and safe handling. That something is Revaton herbicide. What's more, Revaton comes with a low use rate for greater convenience and efficiency. Hammer home this year's cotton harvest with Revaton. Learn more at helmcrop.com/Revaton. Always read and follow label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Guests today include Iowa Representative Randy Feenstra and Aviva Arendine with the National Economic Council.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
What does the new production estimate for U.S. corn mean for the domestic balance sheet? USDA World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekanowski says the reduction in yield, harvested acreage, and production forecast in August led to
a reduction in total supply of about 126 million bushels down to just under 16 billion bushel supply.
And also resulted in adjustments in some use and demand categories.
We expect to see smaller exports. We reduced our export forecast by 25 million bushels, a little bit lower domestic use coming mainly out of feed and residual, and lower ending stocks. The ending stocks forecast reduced by about 81 million bushels.
Despite the changes in the U.S. corn supply and demand ledger,
we didn't make any change to our season average market price. We held that steady at $6.65 per bushel.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.